This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. And if you're just joining us, I'm on steroids, and Sam's got a bevy of things that he hasn't had a chance to talk about yet. So we're going to get into it. You got a bevy. You came in here. You said this week we got 10 pounds of stuff to fit into a 3-pound bag.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
In essence.
Yeah,
that's so much. So much we'll get to this morning. Some of it we don't. We'll get to tomorrow morning, but that's what we have.
Hey, you ready for this?
What's that?
One of those on these dates. I haven't done it.
Go ahead.
Where were you? Well, do you remember who Mike Tyson beat to get the title? I'm not even going to ask you the year. But yeah. That's the thing. They all kind of – and believe me, it didn't last long.
Yeah, they all run together in there, man. You know,
it was on this date, 96, when he got the title from Frank Bruno, who talked like this.
Oh, really?
Don't you remember that's Frank what, Bruno?
Yeah.
He sort of talked like this, and he was really kind of a trick accent.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you to Mike Tyson, I am.
Yeah.
That lasted.
He went to
three
sleep.
Rounds.
He went to sleep like all the rest of them.
Yeah. it was on this date. He beat Frank Bruno to get the title.
Wow.
There you go.
It's something to remember. Don't forget, you can join us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
Yes.
At 22929, 22929, the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. And don't forget to follow us on all our different means of social media, at Twitter at 929TheGame, Facebook at 929TheGame, and Instagram at 929TheGame.
So I can't say you can follow the updates on Get Cast with Greg?
Absolutely.
The casting call stuff?
It's on our website.
That's a reference page.
Yes.
That's what that is. That's not, you know, interacting with me. I let you guys know about stuff. I'll answer some questions. But for the most part, that's a reference page.
Yeah. So we got some comings and goings and whatnot, and we talked earlier about something to do with football.
I've got to hear about this.
Well, a basketball high school all-star game is going up in Gainesville today, first of all. High school all-star game is day two of the 2K19 All-Star Classic at Gainesville High School. It's the North Georgia All-Stars with juniors yesterday, the seniors today.
Hang on. Slow down a little bit, man.
I'm just saying the juniors yesterday, seniors today.
You're losing me.
They have skills competition at noon, three-point shoot at 1 o'clock, slam dunk at 2, the girls game at 3, and the boys' game to follow, and the doors open at 9 a.m. So shout out to Coach Chuck Graham, everybody up in Gainesville. Had some basketball coaches coming in, and one big surprise, shout out to Will Witherspoon. Guy was a great player at Berkmar High School, as an assistant at Grayson, is the new head coach at Walnut Creek, new boys coach at Walnut Creek. Danny Wright was at Norcross, goes to Archer. She'll be replacing Bob Westbrook. She was there at Norcross and filled in and for Coach Hembry, Angie Hembry, during her illness, and now Norcross needs to find a new head coach as Coach Danny Wright is going over to Archer. But the big surprise.
Hang on, I'm waiting. I'm over here with my shot.
No, one more. And across the street from Norcross, Wesleyan, where Jan Azar has coached for 22 seasons, 13 state championships, 572 wins, decided to step down.
Congratulations.
Going to be replaced by an alum, Carolyn Whitley. And the thing of it is, Coach is stepping away, and her daughter's on the team. Her daughter's on the Wesleyan team.
Didn't wait till
team.
The kid graduated.
I mean,
or got out.
She came on the team last year. I remember talking to her. I said, Coach, what's it going to be like coaching your daughter? She said, well, Sam, you know, she might have to ride home with her dad sometime. I said, oh, Coach.
That's a commitment.
You know what? We hear a lot about dads coaching their kids. We don't hear a lot about moms coaching.
No, you're right.
Coaching daughters.
Right.
And so that's I'm kind of surprised she's leaving while she's still there.
Well, but how many years was she there again?
She's been there 22 years.
Okay, there you go.
She
that's why.
Coach want to do something else. She can do that. Drum roll.
They have
a new head football coach.
Who's ready?
Yes.
All right, I'm backing up.
Come on.
Give it to me.
New head coach at McEachern High School.
Shout out, Lost Mountain.
Franklin Stevens, former head coach at Tucker High School, won a couple of state championships there.
Excited.
And going to Lamar County, was down in Ware County, home of the Gators. So he's leaving the swamp to come over to Powder Springs.
Latest story, Larissa's looking for you.
Yeah, I know
she's looking for you big time.
I don't know if he's going to bring a gator with him when he comes up.
She is, boy.
Pound for pound, this man is one of the best high school football coaches in the state, and I'm personally proud of him because I've known him since he was a high school player in Waynesboro, Burke County, outside of Augusta. And tenacious.
You know everybody, man.
No, I don't know everybody.
You know everybody.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
That's what people believe, and I believe it too. You know, you whip these names out like, you know, just how do you know all these? And retain them too. So we're impressed.
But he's going to be new coach at McEachern. I'm sure everybody over there is.
He sounds like a person who does not have a problem with stepping into a program who has expectations.
Yes.
That large, at least in the high school football world.
Very much.
So he seems like the perfect person to get in there listening to what you're telling me.
He's ready for it. He's ready for it. But while he is coming in, there is a big vacancy in South Georgia.
This is the one. This is the one.
Folks, a couple of weeks ago we talked to you and mentioned that Coach Rush Probst, who was head football coach at Colquitt County,
Busted a kid's helmet, headbutting him.
He didn't bust a kid's helmet. He busted his own forehead.
Oh, the kid busted his forehead. Headbutting him. That gives you an idea right there what we're dealing with.
That was several years ago. He was suspended while he was being investigated. And just yesterday it was revealed that he has been relieved of his duties after 11 years on the job. No longer the coach there. The Colquitt County School Superintendent, and this is from the Moultrie Observer, the Colquitt County School Superintendent Doug Howell determined that the Coach Probst had violated code of ethics for educators, legal compliance, conduct with students, honesty, public funds, and property. It's a laundry list of things happened. And you know, the one thing that I'd heard was that he had given some painkillers or something to some players, in which he wasn't supposed to do. And then he did that. He said he wasn't going to do it anymore, and he did it again. It was an over-the-counter drug, but it's something you're not supposed to. The coach ain't supposed to give it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's
what trainers are for.
But that's the beginning. I mean, there's other things. He, you know, put himself in position of the hiring of the new school's new principal. He kind of like did his own interview after
He thought he was Jerry Jones.
Income tax stuff.
Why's your mouth getting all curled up? You're fine.
I'm just saying.
You're just the reporter
I'm
here.
I'm just saying it's federal and state and insubordination. Personal hotel stays on the school system.
See, we're bleeding into a whole different area where this guy was probably just running things down there. He was that name in that county, and we all know it ain't got nothing to do with South or up north or wherever. And you get into a smaller community, I don't know how big that area is down there, but they don't have the spotlight, obviously, that's on programs up here. And when you get a guy who's been there forever and been getting away with stuff, it just gets harder.
Well, he has been there forever. He's there for
11
years, right? 11 years. But I think a lot of stuff, his reputation precedes him, obviously, from the time when he coached and worked in Alabama. And he was on
and he did it certain ways there, too, right?
He did things certain ways there. And there were things off the field that took place, indiscretions, infidelities, or whatever you want to call it, that end up getting in out of hand over there. He loses that job. He goes through a bout of cancer, and to me, the opportunity at Colquitt was almost like a shot at redemption in a way, to me.
Right, but yet he continued to do here what he did, here meaning Georgia, what he did in Alabama, correct?
Well, some different things. I mean, to me, it's a different situation. Hoover, Alabama is a situation, they're kind of the equivalent to our Buford. To me, they're the school with all the whistles and bells. You got a lot of kids who play there who are from two parents working households.
Right.
Not everybody in Buford's from that, and not everybody is Hoover for that. But more people at that school have that than have it at Colquitt County and Moultrie. Most of those kids who play on the football team come from single-parent households, and some of those single parents are struggling to make ends meet. There are certain places where Friday nights are paramount.
Oh, absolutely.
Not just when you're playing, but paramount for life.
Right.
There's nothing else you will ever do better than what you do on Friday night when you play for that team. And, I mean, that's something that people in the community will say. But somebody needs to be able to tell you, hey, there's something beyond Friday night. And for a lot of places, there's no one to tell them that. If no one at home tells them that and no one in the community tells them that, then after Friday night, it's all done.
Right.
And in a lot of those places, if there's no more football to play, kids lose interest in even coming to school. They don't even graduate. This man came out and at least gave those kids something to aim for. and told them to stay in school and get their grades right, they're going to go somewhere beyond Friday night. And for that reason, that's why, you know, yeah, I'm not his attorney. I'm not trying to defend him at all. What he's done is wrong, and what he's getting is what he deserves. But at the same time, there's some young people down in that part of the state whose lives have been changed. The direction and trajectory of their lives and their families have been changed because this man got them to look beyond Friday night. And that's all I say about Rush Probst. Say what you want to say about him.
You know, in a year from now, at whatever dinner that's going on down there, and they talk about college coaches, and his name comes up, and you look back at the total package of his coaching career for that program, you had to put it on a scale of 1 to 10 for the positive that you just spent a few minutes talking about, and then put it up against the negatives. Where would you put him on a scale of 1 to 10 for the job he did?
I mean, I still have to be somewhere 6, 7, 8. I mean, because of the outcome and the product of what it affected young people. Yeah, he's got a lot of whistles and bells. They built an indoor practice facility. Folks say, why you need an indoor practice facility down in South Georgia? But he's got it. You know, a 100-yard facility, and he's put that program on the national pedestal. The person who comes in behind him is going to have a tough act to follow as far as maintaining that. Right. And, yeah, the team played with a lot of the attitude. Some folks may say arrogance.
This dude always reminded me of a high school version of Les Miles.
You think
is that
so?
Accurate?
He wore a visor.
I understand that, but that personality. You know, this listening to you talk about him and the other people that we've had on that talked about him, that's the guy he reminded me of as far as on the coaching level, and next level, I should say. I understand from a business standpoint and what he tried to do or wanted to do for that program and getting monies and getting people to help out, like I said, building new facilities. Listen, there's no juggernaut in the business community that didn't cut some corners, all right? They have to – sometimes you got to make alliances with people you don't want folks knowing about. The other things, tax evasion, infidelity, all that stuff, that's a whole separate episode of Oprah. But I get the fact that he maybe had to cut some corners down there. And he did it because the spotlight isn't as bright. But eventually, you know, 11 years down there coaching, he got away with it for long enough where he figured he can continue doing it.
Yeah.
But this sounds like an investigation that had been going on for a couple years.
Yeah, some of this stuff has been piling up. And is his high school coaching career done? Sure. Will he show up maybe in a college program in some capacity in the future? Possibly. But I don't know if he get trusted with a high school football program again.
All right. Well, speaking of college programs, we're going to talk to Andrew Windham.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about this recruiting stuff that went on out west with some folks that got some folks playing some sports that they don't play in college. Man, what a crazy
story. Been a week.
This week. Unbelievable.
It has been. Well, as they say, you live in interesting times.
Well, we're doing that case. For sure.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, George. I don't want to say it that way.
Morning.
Yeah. Not much of a help. Well, I want to remind you that if you're heading down into Midtown, today is the day where Atlanta is celebrating St. Patrick's Day with a parade.
And do you realize that that is the longest running event in this city? Since 1858. It's making one of the country's oldest, but it's also one of the longest running events that have taken place in the city of Atlanta has been St. Patrick's Day Parade, and it's happening again today.
Did know that?
Yes.
Somewhere up there in Illinois, they've thrown the green dye into the Chicago River.
Do they throw it in? They don't throw it in.
They dump it in, but in some years, you really don't even have to dump it in because it stays green. It's so polluted.
No, it does.
Yeah, it does.
They're still allowed to do that in 2019?
Yeah, they still do it. It's a thing.
Didn't they stop doing that in Savannah?
That I don't know what they do in Savannah.
Think so.
Savannah's got a huge one.
Do they?
But the one in Chicago, they dyed Chicago River.
I'm pretty sure that
somebody environmental
nerd group.
Or maybe they make it out of something different. It has to be made out of something different than the regular.
Well, I mean, food. Diet. If they were using food coloring, most food coloring
just dissolves.
It's meant to be eaten, and people still had a problem with it. I guess maybe fish were coming out green or something.
Yeah, this stuff it wades out into Lake Michigan.
Green fish, green. No,
dude,
man.
I got to take you up to Oak Street Beach and let you just kind of wander around up there and let you see that river. But it stays green. Yeah. Anyway.
Speaking of green.
Yes. That was a nice transition there.
You know what I mean?
That was very nice.
What were your thoughts this week when you heard about this scandal, that recruiting involving 50 people getting their children into college by illegal means?
What did these idiots do to get caught? Because it's been going on for so long. That's what I thought of first. And my second thought was, how did William H. Macy dodge this? Felicity Huffman's husband.
Yeah, somehow he's not involved in it at all, right? I mean, maybe he didn't care what college the kid went to.
Wade Gunderson from Fargo. She was pulling the trigger, and she was the one orchestrating it, and she's the one that's on tape. That's why she got caught. But that's what I thought initially, to answer your question. But, I mean, are you surprised?
Maybe not surprised, but I'm a little miffed because it's under the guise of athletics. When you have people who qualify for athletics and work to earn, you know, get themselves to start. We talked about earlier with Mel Farr Jr., young people who've done things to prepare themselves to compete athletic. These are folks who, first of all, had people take tests for them, so they probably didn't qualify.
We've heard that for you.
Heard about athletes getting it.
Yes, that's
these
right.
are people who weren't even athletes getting it.
So it's okay if it's athletes?
No, it's not.
I know
all right,
it's not
but
okay.
You're saying what you've heard about. I'm right. saying this is a, to me, this is a different thing because these people are under the guise of athletics.
Yeah, that's where they got the idea from.
But they're not athletes.
No, you're right. But
shouldn't you be legit? At least
here's the crazy,
know how to play the sport?
Here's the crazy part about this. It comes down to a parent wanting more for their kids, okay? Well, let's strip all the other stuff aside because I saw this in my house. You had a kid coming out of high school who didn't want to go to college, and her mother's going, no, you need college. I know it's the jobs, you know, the job force out there. You need to have this degree and that degree. And the parent, in some cases, has to convince the kid why college is important. And then some parents use every means possible. They're like Michael Corleone. You really think you're going to be able to take my kids away from me? I'm going to do everything in my power. Well, there are parents out there who will do anything to get their kids that college degree. Now, this is where the stupid comes in. But it's based in wanting more for your kids who don't seem to think that. It's like those kids you talked about down in Colquitt County who just thought Friday night was it. And their parents and coaches in some cases saying, no, you need to get this degree. You need to go to college, so on and so forth. That's kind of the thing. That's where I looked at this.
Well, these are folks with money to pay for their kids to go to school.
Again, this is an old money. Felicity Huffman, and I'm not making excuses for them. I'm saying they worked hard and probably went to, you know, took a lot of classes and colleges and so on and so forth to get to where they are. They have the means to cut some corners and break some rules and maybe thought the arrogance that got them to where they are in their career now that they weren't going to get caught. But they got caught. But at the end of the day, can you make a case that this is all about parents wanting more for your kids? Can you make that argument? Yeah, this again, I said the stupid comes in and how they execute it. But that's the argument that we have heard and we're going to continue to hear.
And these are major schools. We're talking, you know, Stanford and Southern Cal and Georgetown Yale. And Texas and Yale. And my thing, if I'm a football player at one of those schools, I'm out there sweating and busting my you know what. Yeah. And I know that you're limiting me on how much I can receive for doing this because you got to feed the rest of the athletic programs and the non-revenue building sports. Okay, that's fine. I understand that when I signed the letter of intent. But the fact that now you're going to bring some folks and get spots on those teams that don't even play the sport.
Yeah, didn't even go out and get a good demo together. They just went to the locker room and got in a rowing machine in some cases.
You know, that's the part of it that bugs me and should bug every person who's playing on a revenue-building sport at those teams. But we got somebody who's going to join us on the WaitForIt.com hotline who deals in this matter quite a bit. Joining us now, Andrew Windham, the College Planning Institute. Andrew, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sam. How are you guys?
Fine. Well, Greg and I have been talking about this, Andrew. And what were your thoughts? This is something that you do. What were your thoughts when you heard about this story this week?
Well, you know, gentlemen, also own Georgia Prep Sports Network, and we broadcast a lot of high school sports, and so that lends to being in and around the parents. And, Greg, I think you're dead on. It ultimately is, you know, the original intent is good, is parents who want what's best for our kids, but sometimes we get blinded by the fame and the fortune, and we're willing to do anything at all costs to get there, and that's really where the issue comes in.
That is the issue, and I'm just amazed that this kind of thing happens. You do a lot of as far as helping people plan for this time in lives. Talk about, you know, some things that you would have as a checklist, some things that you tell people, hey, this is something you really need to do. And at what point do you start doing this? I hope it's before their senior year in high school.
Well, you know, I hope that families and parents get moving, and if there's any takeaway that I would hope someone listening this morning gets is, is that fair or not fair, the college process needs to start, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, but it's not in always doing things like taking the ACT or the SAT. It's in planning. It's in, from a parent's perspective, making sure your kids have the right attitude. They understand there's no shortcuts, you know, all of those types of things, right?
That's what we would hope. That was what we was hoping. I mean, to see this also at programs at this level, you got some coaches involved in this level, you know, Andrew, who've been around, you know, for a long time. The athletic director, Lynn Swan, out at Southern Cal, says, you know, we got some people who've been around and they've seen things happen and they knew better, yet they still went along with this and fell in line with it.
Well, and, you know, I think we all make mistakes and make bad decisions. And, you know, I don't want to get religious on everybody, but one of the things that I tell my boys is, Sam, is sometimes we need Jesus with skin on around us. And what I mean by that is the people aren't perfect, but we need people in our life that God puts there with perfect timing so that when we're vulnerable to making less than good decisions, they kind of steer us back the right way and save us from ourselves. You know what I mean?
Sometimes that's needed.
Yep. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, talking to Andrew Whittem here. I want to go back to something, but it's going to be a longer conversation because you can argue, and what do either of you guys say to this argument? Well, you had a problem with the fact that these weren't actual athletes.
Yeah.
We've heard those stories, but we haven't seen a roundup like we saw this past week. And what happened this past week, we're all surrounding people who weren't going to eventually make money for the universities. That's all I want to say.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe that's why they were all rounded up the way they were. But if they were kids who were getting by but yet doing something where the university was going to make some money possibly, I'm not saying that's the reason why, and that's one of those conversations that nobody wants to have, but there's the difference between the problem you have with what we have seen for years when this quarterback or that shortstop or this center has his test taken by another student. But, yeah, this guy is going to help us get an NCAA championship. Those kind of get swept under the rug. You just hear rumblings. These, what happened this past week, they are put out on blast. And we are seeing not only kids talked about, but the parents. And I just said, well, you know, they're not making any money for the university. Maybe this is why this happened.
I don't know. But
that's an argument. I'm saying, how do you address that?
I just think it's the fact that the kids who you're talking about a kid who actually plays the sport. When I talk, my problem is kids coming in who are not even playing a sport.
Right. And
they're not making money.
So let's get them out of the mix here.
Well, I'm just saying that what are they doing there anyway? I'm just saying there's some young people whose parents have spent money preparing them to compete legitimately. And that's the thing. They're going to be held back for some kids who, you know, like you said, have to go and fake like they were in a rowboat.
Andrew, whether it's this topic in question, which has been the feedback from this past week, or something else, what has not been discussed this past week in your mind surrounding this story?
I think that we're avoiding the larger conversation, which you actually touched on the tip of the iceberg, Greg. College and athletics is a huge business, and we talk about it from the NCAA in recruiting and video games for likeness and all of those things. But, you know, we have to go in with our eyes wide open. The reality is elite universities have literally become the ultimate luxury brand marketers. I mean, their price continues to go up and rises. And I think the question we have to ask is that rise in value, is it commensurate with the value that they're delivering to the student-athlete from an educational perspective? I mean, in 1981, my alma mater cost about $1,300 a year. And now you're looking at $49,000, $50,000 at an Auburn. But if we're talking, you know, the Harvards of the world, those places, you're looking at upwards of $70,000. I mean, an undergraduate degree, when we start to look at $250,000, $300,000, that's a pretty steep price tag, right? And what are we getting for that?
Yep. That's the point. We're spending some time on the waitfor.com hotline with Andrew Whittem. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Whittem. Of course, he's with Georgia Prep Sports Network and College Planning Institute. Before we let you go, Andrew, just anything else you would pass along to parents? Who have young people who are starting on this path, that you want them to go ahead and do, not because they want their kids to go to a big D1 school, but just so that they're ready to go and be able to compete, because they've been competing in athletics as youth. And there are scholarships out there, legitimate scholarship dollars out there that they need to capitalize on.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the really interesting thing is they in this scandal, they spent money trying to get in. And what it really boils down to is if you find the right fit for the kid in the right scenario, athletically or otherwise, you don't have to do that. And there's tremendous amounts of money out there. And that's really a major difference. When it's about the kids and the kids are the driver of the focus, then a lot of the other things get taken care of. But I want to share just a quick acronym I kind of came up with. We're talking sports, so let's go with the word points, right? The one with the most points always wins.
Right.
So P is plan with perspective. You know, so often we get caught up in the busy works of life and we don't have a plan, and we need to have reasonable perspective. Every kid's not a Division I or a professional athlete at some point, but athletics is an incredible opportunity that we can pursue even at college at the right level. So consider, you know, NAIA, Division I, II, III, they're all great options. Second, you got to have an outcome. If you don't know what the end goal is, it's hard to build a plan. Third, information that is reliable and accurate is probably the single biggest kryptonite the parents in the college process. Colleges intentionally put information out that is not bad information, but the context or the color in which it's delivered allow folks to believe things that aren't true. A great example is college graduation rates. The U.S. Department of Education looks at those on a six-year basis, okay. But parents are thinking in four-year basis, so they're giving a percentage, but it's not the same time frame.
Okay.
And do the next thing right. Coach Meyer, that coached David Lipscomb and won, you know, Jimmy V award several years ago and passed away from cancer. You got to do the next thing right, and there are no shortcuts. Right?
Right.
P, timing and trust, and S, success formula. And I would love to share. It's normally $399, but we'll give it to anybody who wants to shoot in. It's our success formula. We got $6 million of free money. We didn't have to pay anybody to get it. It's a pure and honest process. It does take investment and sweat equity, but finish and funding our success formula, and anybody that wants access to that, they can visit our website, collegeplanninginstitute.com, or shoot me an email.
All right, Andrew. Yep. We're up against it, but we appreciate the knowledge this morning, man.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Yeah, this is a subject we're not done with.
No. I think a lot of people have some thoughts. A lot of people weigh in on that when you talk about something like a matter like this and the way this all came out.
All right, Sam and Greg, we are here till top of the hour. Then we got Sports Insiders. But up next, we're going to talk about a couple other things going on. And there's a guy who had a bad time at a par 3 yesterday.
Woo.
We'll talk about Tigers. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. That feels pretty good.
Morning.
We'll start saying that. Good morning, Georgia. We should do that.
Good morning, Georgia.
Yeah.
Because most of Georgia can hear us.
Well, we can't just say good morning.
I mean, if you want to get technical, 60,000 watts goes almost to Birmingham.
I was going
to
say,
and Chattanooga. So you have to include Tennessee and Alabama if you're going to get the whole.
Well, we ain't talking about
it. You got to come up with a name for that.
We got to talk. We can talk.
Okay, everybody. Good morning.
They're out there. They're listening.
Good morning to the tri-state area.
There you go.
Tri-state area.
So, yeah, broadcaster from the Bronx. Welcome to the tri-state area.
Nice going.
Hey, you think our audience knows about the Black Ice Project?
Not sure.
You know what? Okay, we have to tell them about that.
Yes.
We want to thank our boy KB over at Off the Hook Barbershop.
Yep.
He's got a close friend.
This is going to be remarkable.
That's a part of what is called the Black Ice Project. If you want to wait for Sam and I to talk about this, go look it up. Now, the event doesn't happen until January, but we're going to have a participant on. And you're going to be surprised about this participant and this event.
And where it's taking place.
Exactly.
Woo!
Exactly. Well, those words kind of, you know, say it all.
Yeah.
The Black Ice Project. Go look it up.
Yep.
Well, it's not really a major, but it's kind of a major. We got the Players Championship going on.
Some people call it the fifth major.
Yeah, they do. And Tiger was looking okay those first 2 days. And
yesterday it was
he made the cut.
Two shots off the lead at one point yesterday. Two shots off the lead. And then
the island hole.
As Ben Wright would say, the aquatic doom.
Yeah. The one of the most famous holes in golf. And he's conquered it a number of times, but not so much yesterday.
Oof.
But you know what? All he needs to do is have momentum going into tomorrow and put up a good number, because he wants a good showing from this as he heads into it. Because all he cares about is Augusta next. That's all he cares about. And playing, he sat out, was it Arnie's event last week?
Arnold Palmer.
So and did not he wants that. A good showing here.
But he wanted to get, he didn't want to get a quadruple bogey. Yesterday.
A seven. That reminds me of Greg. And everybody Greg plays with. Everybody can relate to that.
Splash, not once but twice.
He's sitting at 3-under right now. Leaders Tommy Fleetwood, along with Ireland's own. Well, both of them are Irish.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Rory McIlroy.
Because
we're on the heels of St. Patrick's Day. Wouldn't it be something?
McIlroy with a 65. A 48-year-old Jim Furyk, a 64 yesterday. And he is at 9-under, one of the group at 9-under par. So, yep.
Don't look for Phil Mickelson's name, by the way.
Don't?
Nope.
Why not?
He make the cut.
Oof.
He was like 10-plus last time I looked.
Yikes.
So.
Yep. But that's coming up later on today as they play the Players' Championship. It's a big, nice weather, too, down in Jacksonville. That'll be great.
Now, we're going to run through this because we got, you know, like I said, we got Sports Insiders coming up top of the hour. Yeah, F1. Going at it?
F1 going in Australia. And they'll drop the green flag tomorrow morning at 12:30, well, right after midnight, our time. They'll start. Because usually
you get in here in the morning, Sam's putting on Lewis Hamilton. Where's Lewis Hamilton at?
Yeah,
what's going on?
But you usually they're racing about the time we come on air at 6 a.m., but they're in Australia, so they're coming on extra super early. NASCAR's in Fontana, California. Austin Dillon won the pole yesterday, and everybody booed qualifying. The guys didn't get it right, and they didn't get a chance to make the last qualifying lap. But anyway, Dillon's on the pole. And at Indian Wells.
This is what I'm amazed at.
Federer against Nadal for the 39th time later today.
Now, that's something to take a second and think about. Those guys going at it 39 times. But here's what I thought of immediately when you said that. They aren't even halfway to the amount of times Martina and Chris played.
Oh, I'm sure. Wow.
They played 88 times.
Yeah.
88 times.
Unbelievable.
And these guys aren't even halfway there.
I actually saw one. They played at what is now, you know, McCamish Pavilion, the old Alexander Memorial Coliseum. I saw Chris Everett, Martina Navratilova play years ago. Yeah, this is in the semifinals at Indian Wells. Federer at 37, Nadal at 32. And it's been a while since they played. Last time they played was about over 16 months ago. So usually it was something we'd see during the course of a year, but it's been more than a calendar year since they played last.
And you can honestly say, between these two, if you put these two in their prime, and we had to put a bet down, you honestly say everybody would ask the question before they put the bet down, are they playing on clay? Then everybody's betting on Nadal.
Yep.
And if you say hard court, then everybody's betting on Federer.
Yep.
In their prime.
Yep. Yep. Well, even now, too. And Nadal says it because, you know, late last season, he had the knee problems again. And, you know, just the way he's put together. Hard courts is difficult for him.
Yeah.
But after this, they get to go overseas. He's going to get you on clay.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.